Hi, and welcome to yet another podcast from IoT Sweden, the Swedish Innovation Program, with the mission to use IoT technology for managing societal challenges to improve quality of life, create inclusive societies, and to build a sustainable welfare for Sweden and for the world. In today's podcast, we will focus on the human side of IoT, how we as humans can benefit from the IoT deployment and usage in our cities. The cities where the majority of the world's population live today and where many societal challenges can be found. My name is Magnus Fransson and I'm responsible for helping all our projects and companies to be global. And I would like to start a little bit with, go back in history a little bit. Not so long ago, the telephones and their connecting telecom systems were considered by far as the largest globally connected and interoperable machine or system. IoT, or Internet of Things, is already a much larger system. Today, around 15 billion IoT devices are connected, expected to double by 2030. As a comparison, the number of smartphone subscription today globally is roughly 7 billion, and there is no obvious limitation with technology anymore. Continued growth and success for IoT is based on totally other factors. On standardization, so these connected parts can interoperate, and because standardization is a fundament for economy of scale, better, cheaper, and more cost-effective. And for small markets such as the Swedish market, our Swedish companies and entrepreneurs need bigger marketplaces to grow on with such a small market in Sweden. Global standard can fix that, and it all leads to a very positive spiral. Growing market means more investors, more research, and more diversity. In all, very positive. Another important success factor is market growth itself. That usage, implementation, and adoption of IoT-based services is growing and appreciated by the many. But for this, we need maybe the most significant success factor, human acceptance. It is not enough that it works. We need to appreciate it as well. Maybe also to change our behavior. With IoT-related technology moving fast forward, like artificial intelligence, AI, quantum computing, automation, and robotization, the IoT domain holds a lot of exciting and promising possibilities for mankind, but it also contains dilemmas and challenges. In this context, tech development is important, but not the issue, maybe. There is no clear limit any longer for what we seem to be able to achieve. The question is what we want to do with it, all these possibilities. With this human perspective, with societal city challenges and a human view in mind, I can really not sit on my own and reason as I just did. But to make this as concrete, as hands-on as possible, I've invited Robert Lund from Sensitive, a Swedish tech company. So welcome, Robert. I sit here in Lund, in your premises, Sensitive premises. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and Sensitive.
Yeah, well, thank you, Magnus, and maybe perhaps it's me who should say welcome to Lund. It's a beautiful sunny spring day, and the asparagus is just popping up right now as we speak in the field. So it's great to be on the podcast and great having you here at Sensitive.
I love asparagus. It looks like sensors, maybe.
Yeah, in some form, perhaps. Yeah, I just chopped down the three first from the coming batches. Mm. But yeah, so Sensitive is a tech company. We're 10 years old, and we are around 30 people. It's like a one office kind of company. Of course, we have agents and sales stuff around. But we're a Lund-based company, and we are a tech company. We're engineers, most of us here at Sensitive. we have two different product areas. One is that we design and develop and produce our own line of sensors, which we sell on a global market, typically, you know, being in use by other platforms, not our own. So it's an important market for us, the sensor market. But the other half of what we do is our platform, UGU, which is where I predominantly work in a smart city context.
You would describe UGU as a sort of an oil rig, that the data is, of course, the oil, and you're the rig.
Yeah, of course, if data is oil is something that you pick up from the ground and then burn up, right? Then it evaporates and becomes CO2 instead, whilst data is something that you pick up and then store, right? And it can be reused again if you so wish. So, well, I understand what you mean.
Eternal digital life.
Yeah. I read an article which says that 95% of the gathered data from these 15 billion sensors you mentioned is actually not being in use, which is a bit of a downer, right? We could use the data more efficiently if we choose to do so.
I just want to compliment a little bit on, when we got here, it's a fantastic environment you have here. Not a very small company, but a growing, fast-growing company, but still you sit together as a team. You have the software and hardware, and you do the test, and you have this fantastic point in time where you still have sort of full control of the company.
Everything is under one roof, and it's a great company to be at. It's a good atmosphere, and you know, very very skilled staff on board at Sensity, which makes it, you know, quite fun to be here. It's challenging, of course, being a growing company with all what that, you know, implies in terms of, you know, big company structures and processes and stuff like that. But it's a very entrepreneurial kind of approach here, and everybody chips in big time at the company. So it's great to be here.
I mentioned in the beginning here about the sort of societal challenges, and maybe that in any way cities are a way to sort of concentrate these societal challenges, because that's where a lot of people live. We live there.
Yeah.
And they will face a lot of different types of societal challenges. Some of them to do with the climate changes, of course, but there are other types of challenges, a growing, aging population. There are a couple of sort of global things that drive us. And sometimes I think, it must be really tough to be a major today, and to really you're interested in digitalization and what that could mean to you and to help your population. Yeah,
yeah. But are you really, or is it just something that you say to attract the votes in for the upcoming election? I do see still sort of a lack of deeper insights and skills and competences in the upper management in municipalities today. It's getting there, but perhaps quite not yet there. Yet. In some municipalities, IT and digitalization is seen as some, you know, it's besides the point. The important stuff happens in the different lines of businesses, and you IT guys do what you do. But it's shifting, and there is a generation shift going on in municipalities for the better, I think.
I think a lot of majors, and in Sweden we call them kommunstyrelsensordförande, so it's a very Swedish title, but city majors, they really love their cities and really want their city to grow and prosper. And in a way, there is a sort of a competition between cities in Sweden that they need to be aware of. And a lot of Swedish cities, we have 290 of them just in Sweden. In Europe, there are, I don't know, thousands of cities. A big market. So I think they really love their cities in general sense, but they need help.
Yeah, of course, they need help not only from technology, but you know, from the way we organize and structure our cities and societies today. Just to give you background, because the topic for this pod is like human aspects of the IoT world, and you are now visiting a very tech oriented company with a lot of engineers. So, just to give you a background, I've been working in the public organizations for over a decade. I was for 5 years at the city of Malmö, the central digitalization department, talking about, you know, how to help our different departments to, you know, use technology in a proper, long-term, lasting kind of way. So back in 2016-17, it's not so long ago really, but in the IoT world, that's a long time. But we did the digital agenda for the city of Malmö, got, you know, decided in the what do you call that in English? Kommunstyrelsen, in the upper management got it decided, and one of the parts of that...
City council, maybe?
Yeah, sort of. City council. But one part of that agenda was the smart city context. So I started to elaborate with... we were seven different departments starting to talk about smart city, what it meant and what it is, and... We could notice from central department that there were a number of sort of IoT related projects ongoing out in the departments. And the question that pops up then is, okay, from a central standpoint, should we support these departments with a central IoT capability in order to gain control over security aspects, information security aspects, and just the pure solid smartness of having one approach instead of 57. So we decided to start working on in that field, and I got some time, you know, to really work on the architectural part, but both the technical architecture, but also the structure and the organization of things within the IT department and how we work with it together with the different departments. So, but from the technical standpoint, I also made it very clear what I, you know, thought that an IoT platform should have inside itself and what should not be inside of an IoT platform within a municipality, because we already had a number of different other capabilities, you know, of course, like networks and data warehouse. We were fiddling around with not AI perhaps, but BI. Of course, you have the webs and you have the different lines of business systems and so forth, and open data and so forth. So in that context, I started to look for a suitable platform that, you know, matched with that blueprint we made. And I actually live in Lund, and I didn't know of Sensitive, so I met them in a finance project by IoT Sweden. Smart Authentic, was that Smart Public Spaces, which was a joint project, Malmö and Lund. And I got to know Sensitive and our CEO, Mats, and found that we, you know, more or less exactly shared the view on how to go about working with IoT, how to do, you know, open modular kind of approach with IoT. So said and done, we purchased the platform, and half a year later I actually decided to join Sensitive instead and try to spread the word and get the product out to a lot of other municipalities and make things happen. So this is now, I don't know, 5 years ago.
But when you started to mention there, I've got the feeling that I mean, in a way, you're technicians, you build a platform, you don't really construct your platform based on how municipalities are organized. And is this an obstacle that you maybe have the different departments in the city, data is running and flowing all over the places, and
it's in some ways it's an obstacle, of course, for sensitive from a commercial standpoint. Typically, our competitors. There are other platforms. I might claim that we are a bit ahead of the bunch, but there are other platforms. But and I suspect the other guys from other platform companies would say the same, that a lot of most of the times it's like verticals, niched specific products that is our real competition. So things going on out in the different lines of businesses where they don't have the time, the resources, the competences, the skills to see the greater good. They focus on their own, you know, line of business and the mission at hand, and they end up and get stuck in a sort of a proprietary kind of a closed solution, which will do the trick. Most of them are actually quite good at it, but from a macro kind of standpoint, you will in the end have like what you're saying, Magnus, you know, like 57 different vertical solutions. We don't really know where the data is, how it's structured, how we can access it, and sometimes you don't even own your own data, but the line manager in the departments is happy because, you know, they will have their, I don't know, automated watering or whatever it might be. But from a digitalization standpoint, talking about the smart society and the municipality, I think it makes sense to have a common approach and do digitalization across organization lines. And this is not it's not necessarily an IoT
issue.
It's a general thing when you're talking about digitalization, right?
Yeah. And do you think that standardization will help?
Of course, we are only at the beginning of standardization in the IoT world. There are 13 by the dozen of different standards. They claim to be standards, or they might be considered as a standard. So yeah, the standardization and interoperability will be crucial moving forward. We're not quite there yet. We have decided to embrace the European... I think you should claim that it is a standard, but FIWARE, which is a European initiative. So we have, you know, a standardized API on top of our platform, which means that you can actually, you know, build an application on top of our platform and then remove the platform and put it, you know, another platform in place instead. We've tried it and it actually works, standardization is just one part of the puzzle, right? There are so many factors impacting, you know, the emerging smart society.
But this, how many standards did you say? 13?
13 by the dozen.
By the dozen.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
There's constantly, I mean, it's more or less impossible to keep up with new stuff popping up in the IoT industry, right? It's happening things everywhere. You have a consortium talking about WiSUN. Do you know what that is, Magnus?
No,
it's a communication standard for like medium band in you know, where LoRaWAN doesn't really cut it, and you don't want to go fiber Wi-Fi.
A little bit better than something.
Yeah, but and they claim it to be a standard. Yeah, it might be considered a standard. Is it adopted in Sweden? I haven't seen anyone using it actually in Sweden. So there's a lot of, and it's most likely a proper good thing, WiSUN. But there's a lot of different standards popping up constantly in this domain.
My sort of industry background is in the telecoms. That's why I used the example telecom, and I really loved GSM and that development.
Yeah.
It made it so obvious for the buyers and customers. Okay, I go this way, and I think for a major, how nice it would be to have something to lean against.
How should I put it in English? I don't envy the guys working, if it's the mayor office or the CDO or the CIO, I don't envy them, because it's a lot of things going on in the IoT industry, and a lot of companies will claim things, and it's difficult to sort things out, which you need to be able to do. You need to be able to sort things out and make your own decisions on how to move forward. But also, Magnus, I would like to challenge that, you know, the GSM, and because what we're talking about is more or less one use case, right? You bring up your phone and you'll be able to talk over the mobile network and have interop between different phones and, you know, the base stations and stuff like that. But in the IoT world, I mean, in through our platform, we have, I don't know, 150, 200 different use cases running. Some is using Wi-Fi, some is using cellular. It's these old traditional industry protocols. And you know, it's so many different standards that if you talk about IoT as a term, it's such a broad array of different things that you can do.
I just think it ought to be possible to embrace a lot of this.
I mean, whatever you can sense with your human senses, right? You can use a sensor to sense it also. But then you have, you know, this infrared and lot of different other things that you can detect also. So we are working with a digital nose right now here at Sensitive, using Bosch, have a small sensor which we are using, where you can actually detect different gases and compounds in the air, and you train the sensors to detect specific patterns. So it can decide whether it's one or the other of two different coffee brands that you're using in the coffee machine. But so there's no sort of limit to what you will be able to
absolutely
do.
Absolutely, but I guess the further you get in the system, the more diversity and faster involvement you will have, but the more to the core, maybe you need some sort of some unified things, different things.
I mean, inside the core of Ugyo and in a lot of other platforms also, of course, is the Fireware standard format of expressing data and providing that through our, you know, our implementation of the NGSI V2 API on top of our platform.
Let's move back to this nose here, because we were discussing this morning here. We talked about allergy and the pollen, and so when you go, would you see a city major's dilemma here? Would you present earning money or saving money or improving quality of life? What's the sort of selling point for her?
I would claim that to be able to at all be able to deliver on the municipal tasks at hand would require digitalization in general and the use of IoT specifically, you know, in this context. I was up in a municipality in the western parts of Sweden, and they actually didn't have staff on board to do elderly care in their private homes, which is a big, you know, both a big cost instance for the major, but also something that requires a lot of staff, right? And you need to have staff to be able to go home and take care of elderly people and give them food and make sure they're okay. And they didn't have staff to do this. Okay, so the use of technology in a broader sense will make the mayor able to actually deliver on what they are supposed to do. Because a lot of people will, you know, retire soon, and we are getting older and older, and at the same time, there's such a diverse society today, so it becomes more and more difficult to deliver on the municipal tasks. So that I would claim is by far the most important aspect of things. Of course, then you could drill down and see, okay, I mean, the general pattern when using IoT is moving from reactive or scheduled operations, right? So someone calls in and says, hey, this is broken, fix it, or there's a water leakage here. It cost us 10 million to fix it because we haven't detected it earlier. Or it's Thursday, it's 10 o'clock, then we're supposed to do this. If it's needed at that point in time, it doesn't really matter. It's in the schedule. So let's do it. Whereas with IoT, you all of a sudden have more or less real-time insights on the actual status of things out in the municipality. And that gives you the possibility to use less resources to actually do things. And you do things when it's needed, not later and not sooner. So you're kind of a just-in-time approach. And to top off, then some of the things we will be able to automate also, right? Turn on and off things or whatever it might be. And the last part there will, of course, be to use AI to know that this will happen in 2 weeks. So please do something now in order to avoid situations. So, and then the last one, Magnus, became a long rant here, but you have the more security-oriented, risk-minimizing kind of use cases also, which just, it's just out with sensors. And
do you think IoT is too broad of a concept for this?
Yeah, but to some extent, I would agree. It's... for the last couple of years, it has been very, very much focused on the technology in itself, right? We have jointly in the IoT kind of community have, tried to figure out exactly how does LoRaWAN work? How does the sensor work? Which sensors works? And these kind of technical aspects of things. Now, I think we are really, really moving quite fast into a talk about, how do you implement this and what effects do you really want to accomplish out in the municipality, or it doesn't need to be the public organizations, it can be privately held companies also, but in the water and sewage company, or in the, what do we really want to achieve? And the still kind of slowly shifting mindset within upper management within the municipality to go from a where they are today to a more data-driven approach on things, because I think that it's absolutely necessary to do this. But mind you, in my private life, I'm quite analog. I try to stay away from too much tech in my world. So it needs to be balanced also in the municipality, because there is, of course, a risk of us having everything automated and, you lose kind of the human touch on things, being able to see each other out in the society. Mm. Everything is structured in a system instead.
I'm a tech guy myself, so sometimes we strive for sort of tech to solve general problems, and the general machine, we're even the general formula, not even... Our best physicians have sort of unified all formulas into one. They're looking for it. But could it be also that as a major perspective, he can understand, I have a problem with water. I have a problem with its draft. I have a problem with care of elderly. I've so many problems. And I like to discuss that if you have solutions for it. But why do we need this IoT for?
If you had the possibility to, for a reasonably cheap investment, have real-time insights on status of things, would that be of interest? Because it will give you another level of decision-making possibilities, right?
I can build this control room of...
I'm not so sure that we want that. Maybe we do. I'm not really sure. from a major perspective, and the central like management of things, you have delegate, right? So typically in a Swedish municipality, and I'm guessing it's the same throughout Europe, each organization owns their own digitalization, so to speak. So if you are head of the elderly care department, then that's your headache, and that is what you're working on. But the problem then is that
you have your silo.
Yeah, you have your silos, and we will have them forever. You know, your own. it's difficult to manage other silos at the same time, but you need to be aware that they exist, and you need to understand when and how to collaborate in certain aspects within a municipality. A typical example of that is you have the public housing company, typically delivering, you know, apartments, affordable apartments, right? And they try to do that in the most sustainable and smart way. And then you have the energy company. They deliver energy to this, you know, electricity or district heating or whatever it might be to this public housing company. Okay, so now you have two actors. And then you have the water and sewage company. Well, they also actually deliver, you know, clean water and take care of that's not clean. So now we have three actors. And then you have the municipality taking care of elderly. They typically do this inside of the apartments, which is owned by the public housing company, right? And now you have four actors. And then you have the relatives to the elderly people living there. And it doesn't make sense not to work together on this issue then, right? So it's quite simple from a technical standpoint to measure water, electricity, consumption for an apartment, and then to use that data and reuse it for various kind of purposes. You know, the water company can do their automated billing, as the same goes for the energy company, right? But still, the data from that will give you a very, very clear indicators on the status of the person living in this apartment, right? So then you get into sort of privacy and integrity kind of issues instead. And it becomes both an organizational kind of problem, you know, who does what and who is responsible for what, who pays for what, who owns the data, how can the data be shared, and so forth. But it's not really a technical problem. The technical aspect of this is we're there in the industry. It's quite easy to do these kind of use cases, but to have it work together across departments, that's, you know, from my standpoint, where the challenges lay.
Okay, you're a tech company, but still, I like to post the question to you anyway. But I mean, do you think the municipalities, the way they build, you know, they plan the society. Here we'll have these type of buildings, and here are the roads, and it's a planning process here in place, and it has had certain process steps and decisions and involvement from citizens, and in the end, you get a plan, you get investors, you get real estate companies and retail companies and coming in. Okay, I deliver on this plan. We like to be part here, and they're invited and so forth. Do you think we lack some sort of a planning, like the digital plan for the city in a similar way? Is that something the mayor could use or should have?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Like the digital soft architecture that we are more or less building.
Maybe it's a mess today. It's just a mess.
So there, in the IoT space, at least here in Sweden, it's been a number of projects ongoing, which has really made an impact on a municipal, on a national level, on the approach and the way, you know, things I talked about earlier here, you know, it makes sense to have a common IoT platform and these kind of things. That's becoming a reality. So there is a, you know, shift going on, which is great. But in terms of, how should I put it, the digital societal structure and how we build it, there is, I mean, the different IT or digitalization departments tried to, you know, have an impact and do their digital agenda and try to, you know, force it. But they don't have
digital twin.
Yeah, that's yet another buzzword, right? What is that? anyways, the decision making is still being done by the different department directors, right? and they have their own best interest in mind, not necessarily the whole society. So I think we need to be a lot more better to plan and do our, you know, long-term working kind of approach on how to move forward with the digital society.
And I understand your company, you do your thing. This is not something you drive, of course. But
we're providing with enabling technology to make this happen. But we're just a tech, you know, supplier. That's what we do. We are starting to help our customers out on this journey also. But there's a lot of municipalities throughout Europe, right? This problem is not unique for Sweden, but I think that there are some great initiatives on route in Europe. We have the Fiverr. I think it's a great initiative and approach on thing. You have the MIMS, the minimum, you know, and you have Gaia X, which also talks about and drives towards European sovereignty, so we have our, you know, our own ways of doing things. But on a national level, I'd still lack, you know, in Sweden at least, we have been very, very good from a national level to subsidize broadband, you know, digging down fiber. So we have one of the best fiber networks in Sweden. But when we're moving upwards in the technology stack, it becomes more complex and not as easy to do things from a national level. So I'm kind of, I think we have Dig. They've been in place now for a couple of years, and they are doing great things, you know, giving their mandate and the budget they receive. But we could do so much more on a national level, actually, I think.
Coming back to this people-centric thing, and then sometimes, of course, New solutions means replacing people. Have you ever come across? I mean, we taking the pollen allergy thing. We realize that actually someone is taking a pollen via maybe some sort of glueish type of thing, and then putting it in the microscope and counting number of sort of pollen. Yeah. Stuff in the air that could be done by a very smart machine, of course. But have you ever come across this?
Yeah.
Does this mean I have to move people away? I mean.
Yeah. It's of course, you know, you were talking about the acceptance of new technology as being the next, you know, obstacle, and I agree that there is, of course. You know, people are perhaps not afraid straight up, but what you don't know and really understand is often seen as something that I'm not sure if I want to, you know, engage in this, or what does it really mean for me. But I've been in the IT business for 25 years, and you know, when you work with IT and digitalization, per se means changing the way you do things. And at least, you know, in the projects where I have been involved, it has never meant that, you know, people are laid off by things, but people do other things instead. Like I said earlier, the problem for a municipality is that, you know, having people on board at all to be able to deliver on the municipal tasks, that's the problem, right? So and it's here and now. It's not in 5 years or 10 years. It's happening right now. So we need to start adopt technology to be able to, you know, have societies that functioning, and that is, you know, so it's not about letting people go. It's about transforming the contents of what we are doing, and perhaps, you know, hopefully focus on the quality in what we're doing instead of doing these day-to-day routines that, you know, really don't need to do. You don't need it.
Actually, yesterday I witnessed Eurovision, the semi-final.
That is a crazy party thing, right?
Crazy party thing, and it's a sort of extreme diversity in a way that the more the merrier in a way. So sort of it's a great thing. But if you were the jury here, you know the IoT jury, not the Eurovision jury, and to where would you sort of point for some sort of IoT light? Here is a major. Here is a city that really are onto something. Or the cities are onto something that maybe.
Yeah,
is there a light in Sweden?
Yeah, there's a couple of municipalities. I mean, I don't want to offend someone here now.
Just mention someone you like.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the city of Stockholm. Mm-hmm. They have done an amazing work on, you know, trying to define their long-term IoT architecture, and they have a quality program which is great, and they are doing what they say that they will do also. And so they're, you know, it's a huge city with a lot of big actors, so it takes time, which is okay, but they are continuously working on towards the same goal, so to speak. So I'm really impressed with their work.
And what kind of applications are driving them, or what?
I think you had to ask them, really, Magnus. But I know that they are, most of the departments and, you know, municipality owned companies do have a lot of different things that they really would like to do.
So there we see diversity in
yeah, diversity and of course the different departments and the companies, they have a, you know, own vertical approaches also, but these things can actually coexist in a structured way. So yeah, Stockholm is worth mentioning. I would also like to mention the usual suspects pops up, right? But the city of Helsingborg is quite kind of cool also, because it's in the culture to, you know, try to do things and do it, and it's okay to fail, but well, look, this worked, and then they, you know, expand on that and scale up things. So Helsingborg is also doing cool things. There's a lot of other municipalities doing things also. I mean, Umeå and Malmö, Lund, so there's a number of
and in Europe,
well, I would claim that Sweden and Finland I would claim that, at least from a municipal standpoint, we are best in class. I do see a lot of projects and things going on. You know, they hold up, I don't know, Amsterdam or Barcelona as being smart, and they are cool, that they're doing cool things, but to do it properly,
that's because, you know, everyone wants to travel there.
might be yeah, they're beautiful places both, but they're not doing it on a macro kind of level, trying to have the cross organization kind of approach on things. No. Which I do think that both Sweden and Finland in particular have.
So there's sort of more silos in that sense. And here we are sort of cross silos.
We might not be as fast when we do things, but when we do things, we do it properly, and we do it for the purpose of long-lasting digitalization in some form. So, yeah.
And what type of... I'm really interested in circular economy, you know, keeping track of things, keeping track of resources that are not used or underused, or to understand it. Is that something where you see that the city can really earn or understand more of, you know, managing their spaces, managing their flows, managing things, and give guidance to entrepreneurs and companies that are involved in the city's services?
Yeah, we're perhaps not quite there yet, but you know, on a macro level, doing it, scaling up. But We do a number of different use cases where we actually either track, you know, the number of people on a square, or how many people are inside a building, how are the buildings being used, all of these, you know, what do you call it, the pedestrian and bicycle lanes, how many people are using them, in what directions, when, over the day, or the 24 hour. But it's still spread in different projects, not, you know, the complete, you know, the municipal control dashboard kind of approach. We're not quite there yet, I would claim, but it's not all of that difficult to do these kind of things.
Energy?
Yeah, energy optimization is something that we are heavily invested in. Most often it's related to real estate companies, might be municipality owned companies, but yeah, you know, first, to be able to do energy optimization, you need to realize how much data or energy you're using and what kind of resources are using, to be able to manage and you know, reconfigure your buildings. So we're working quite a lot in that space.
I think finally, I like to maybe mention a little bit about this integrity and privacy. Of course, I mean, maybe it's a generation divide here, but do you see difference between ages in terms of privacy and integrity? That
I'm not really sure if it's an age thing or if it's
maybe
if it's an individual thing. On one hand, we as a person, I'm guessing, Magnus, that you have either an Android-based or an Apple-based phone, right? That means that you are constantly sharing with the big American company your whereabouts and what you do.
I know that, but I'm not doing it voluntarily, or I'm sort of not protesting.
You need a phone.
I need a phone, and I say yes to everything, but okay.
Yeah, I try to say no to as much as I can to some, you know, it becomes a problem, but that's on a consumer side of things. But
sometimes, I guess, people say yes because they feel that it could improve their life of quality. That, okay, I give this away because I get a better service.
Yeah, but I think that, and this is just me thinking now, Magnus. I don't have it, you know.
That's so nice with the podcast format. We can do this. This is not research here.
Excellent. Well, then it's a fact.
It's established.
No, but I'm saying that when I've been working in the public sector, one of the things we have been talking a lot about is the trust from the citizens on how a municipality govern their information and data assets, and how we are using the information that we have on you as a citizen. We knew that you have two kids, you have a boat, where you work, and we knew a lot of things about you as a citizen. And now, how do I make sure that I'm trustworthy in this process? And I think that if we talked earlier about elderly care, for instance, you know, if I, as a citizen, is being offered the possibility to share data, not with Apple or Google, but actually with the municipality on things, and in exchange, I get the possibility to, you know, get better services, whatever it might be. I think that is something that you will actually do, right? I rather trust the municipality where I live than, you know, some abstract company somewhere else. I think that is a huge an important aspect of things when we talk about IoT and the, you know, emerging usage of IoT is, okay, where does the data reside? Is it compliant with the GDPR and the laws? And the municipalities, they need to comply with the European laws, right? That means that I'm in good hands, so to speak. And as a municipality, when you deliver these services, you will be able to actually have control of data if you do it right.
So maybe then we talked about acceptance. We mentioned this earlier, that maybe the trust, if we can establish the trust, that could improve acceptance and also a faster deployment.
Yeah. I mean, initially, you know, it, of course, in the municipality and in the companies, it's the more technical kind of departments and companies that are using the technology. And it's initially not, most often, not very sensitive data that we are gathering, right? It's the temperature or whatever it might be. So it's not really a big issue. But the trust on the data will be increasingly important when we add use cases and being able to actually pick a number of different data sources together and, you know, draw conclusions, especially when we're moving into the AI age, so to speak. So how you manage data and work with data inside of a municipality, not you know, the traditional working with system and application management, because that we have done for decades. That's not a problem. But working with information as such, a good thing, a sign that I'm seeing is that some of the municipalities are actually recruiting and employing like information governance employees. Their sole purpose, you know, that's why they get paid every month, is to work and structure data and inform departments on how to work with data. So that the information and the data is at the core of everything constantly. So also when talking about, that's a fun fact or an interesting aspect, is that one of the competences that we actually do have today is librarians. Okay, so librarians, they are heavily invested in structuring data and categorizing things. So a pro tip from the side is to actually pick some of the librarians to work as information architects inside of a municipality. Might not be as good for, you know, the department manager for the libraries, but anyways,
new career path has just popped up here.
I've seen it happen in several instances, and they're doing good jobs.
To finish off here,
did we actually manage to capture the human touch of things? So was it a good title?
I think so. We'll see. Maybe we changed the whole beginning of the program. This is where we ended.
Okay.
So I thank you very much for this session, and hope for luck and prosperous future.
Yeah. Thank you, Magnus.
Thank you. You've been listening to a podcast from IoT Sweden, a strategic innovation program financed by Vinnova, Swedish Innovation Agency, and Energimyndigheten, the Swedish Energy Agency, and Formas, Research Council for Sustainable Development. And the music in the program is especially written for IoT Sweden by Johannes Bergenheim. And me, who produced the program, is Magnus Fransson.